when you see people moving into Tucson, they can afford a house when they're coming here. But if you live here, you most likely don't have a job and can't afford a house.
In Arizona, there is this many real estate agents.
Yes.
A subset of those are realtors and that they belong to a realtor association. In some places, you might call a room a patio. You might call it a lanai. Here we have Arizona rooms, and we might all be saying the same words but mean different things. And so the MLS is sort of the rule-making body framework that makes sure, hey, when you say this, this is what we mean. You know, part of what realtors do is we are advocating and speaking up and being a cheerleader for the place that we live, right?
Hey everyone, this is Edmund Marquez. Welcome to The Upside, our podcast. I am proud to be sponsored today by Tom Heath of the Heath team at Nova Home Loans. Get your mortgage done through Tom Heath, your Tucson Sugar Skulls, and Lumify Marketing. It's a longer name, something like creative. It'll be on the screen. You can read it. I am absolutely excited today to introduce you to my good friend, Romeo Arrieta of Tucson Association of Realtors. Welcome, Romeo. Glad you're here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So Tucson Association of Realtors, you and I were talking before we got on air. There's a little less than 6,000 realtors. But before we get into that, I'd like to hear your background. Prior to, I know you were in Marin. I know you were in Dallas. But tell us, like, you're in 30 seconds, your childhood. Tell us about you.
So I grew up in San Antonio, Texas.
Nice. The Alamo.
I remember the Alamo. I went to school at the University of Texas at Austin.
Nice.
I came to work with the Texas Association of Realtors in 2006. Worked all over South Texas for them. Was a government affairs director at the Metro Texas Association of Realtors, then in Dallas, now in Irving. I was the CEO of the Marin Association of Realtors in the Bay Area in California, and I am now a proud Southern Arizonan.
So UT plays U of A. Who are you rooting for? Man, you better lie on air. This is a Tucson podcast.
U of A, obviously. Yeah, but everybody's a winner.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone's a wiener. I got you, man. Gosh, Marin. I mean, Marin's beautiful. Bay Area is beautiful. Really expensive to live. I mean, one of the areas we're going to go today is the affordability of housing. Oh, Marin, there's no affordability of housing. It's like, what's the average house price in Marin?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because when I left Marin, the median sales price was $1.3 million.
Oh, on sale.
Yeah.
It's getting cheaper. Yeah.
So starter, nice starter home.
Tom, you're doing loans in the wrong area, man.
And so it's really a challenge for people in that part of the world to be able to get into a home.
You don't get into a home.
You don't. Unless you inherit it or you're very fortunate. A fixer upper there is a lot more expensive.
Yeah. What's a fixer upper? Like 600 grand?
A little higher.
Wow.
You know, maybe 800 or 900. Wow. There was the saying there, it's called California broke, where, you know, married couple, two great jobs, and you're renting for a long time. And so that's tough. And contrast that with here in Southern Arizona. Last month, the median sales price was $357.
It's gone up.
So take off $1 million.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, we are relatively more affordable than other parts of the country, and that's a big draw. Unfortunately, home ownership is still out of reach for too many Southern Arizonans. And
we can talk about that today.
Yeah,
I mean, if you look at kind of our local economy, local politics, we're not inviting businesses into Tucson. The center of Tucson, obviously, you've got Vail, Marana, et cetera, that are doing a little better than the actual center of town. When you see people moving into Tucson, they can afford a house when they're coming here. But if you live here, you most likely don't have a job and can't afford a house. Is that about right? I mean, I see Californians coming in.
Yeah.
Boy.
I'm a recovering Californian myself. I think any area that is going to be successful needs to be able to welcome newbies, but also take care of their homegrown talent.
Right. So we're going to come back to that. Oh, for absolutely. Sure. Oh, we're going to go deep. This will be good.
Yeah.
Let's go back to a Tucson Association of Realtors. You've probably seen it. If you drive down, you're on Tucson Boulevard and Grant. Right. I've been to the building many times. It's very nice.
You're on your way to Culinary Dropout.
Yes, exactly. You need extra parking. TAR is your place. So if you look at Tucson Association of Realtors, there's a little less than 6,000 realtors in Tucson. I know you guys have a lobbying arm. I know that you are definitely trying to make attaining a house more or buying a house more attainable. So just tell us about Tucson Association of Realtors as an organization first.
Well, let's start off with Tucson Association of Realtors. Yep, we're about 6,000 members, founded in 1920.
Is it mandatory for a realtor to be part of it, or do they have to pay dues to be part of it?
We're a membership organization. Being a realtor means that you are a member of the National Association of Realtors. There are plenty of licensed agents that are that make the business decision to join the Realtor Association. We would love it if they join ours. We serve members not only in Tucson and Pima County, but for surrounding counties as well. So we have folks all over. So a lot of times you'll hear me say Southern Arizona because we have members all over.
So people choose to join and they pay a membership.
That is correct. And then there is an additional 1,000 to 1,200 at any given time who choose to participate in our multiple listing service. That is the
MLS.
That is the centralized data location where people are able to communicate homes that are
that's
on the
your
market.
Listing. That's where you list your house.
That's right. So
can I ask a question?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
This is interesting because I've known about TAR for years.
Yeah,
decades. I just didn't know how it worked. So in Southern Arizona, there's X number of realtors, but the realtors that have joined you is just under 6,000.
Well, let's say. We're on video, so you can see me do the hand gestures. So there is in Arizona, there is this many real estate agents.
Yes.
A subset of those are realtors and that they belong to a realtor association. And 6,000 of those are members we're proud to serve.
So the nuance, I think if the people at home caught on to that, you said real estate agents.
Yes,
if
that
you,
means if, they, it, they have a real estate license.
So if you join TAR, you can use the trademarked name Realtor.
That's correct.
Okay. We're getting onto something.
Realtor means Realtor is a brand by the National Association of Realtors. It's a trademark, and it means member of the National Association of Realtors. And we try to stick to that because we don't want to be something like Kleenex or Xerox that over time has come to mean something else.
And by the way, for those of you watching, it's not Realtor, it's Realtor.
Realtor.
Yeah, so many people say Realtor. Thank you. Tom gave me the thumbs up. I always thought it would be the other finger. So it's Realtor. Okay, all right. So you also, beyond having TAR, you have a charitable arm.
We have a charitable foundation. Yes. So the Multiple Listing Service of Southern Arizona, the MLS, is a subsidiary organization.
Is that a subscription to like the national MLS and they manage the website for
MLS? No, there's not a national MLS. There's not a statewide
you
MLS.
You create it? You manage it?
So I have a team of dedicated employees that are led by a board of directors of volunteer realtors to run that and make sure that all of the information is accurate. It's a full-time job trying to get all of that information. And if you think about it...
Is it a CRM that you have a platform that you guys... Or did you create it?
The platform is called Flex MLS, which, you know, it's the third party that sets that up and operates. How should I say? That's the platform, and we manage the platform and try to keep up with the rules. So if you think about an analogy that I've heard used, it's like a stock exchange. Mm-hmm. So New York Stock Exchange... You see the value of a particular stock. You see all the information behind it, all of that stuff. And it just happens. It just works. There's a whole mechanism that's behind that. And so that's what the MLS is for real estate listings.
Yeah. And so MLS, is that a good portion of TAR's income?
Yeah, so the
membership dues and MLS income?
Yeah, we have other non-dues revenue as well. Part of it comes from our school and other training that we have. But yes, all of those are all ways that the association is able to operate.
So MLS, so if you're watching this and you buy a house, you sell a house, if you're not an MLS, you're kind of not listed. Like, people can't find you for the most part. However, lately, Zillow has kind of raised its head, right? So how much is MLS, is Zillow pulling from MLS, or is Zillow stand on its own? I know it's like the 800-pound gorilla that's sneaking up on everybody.
Well, first off, I want to say that there's a lot of different platforms.
Redfin, Zillow, yeah.
Sure, other ones. So I'm going to use the term platforms because I don't want to single any of them out. I believe that Zillow is often participates in MLSs as a member. When you are a when you work with the MLS, you are a participant or subscriber. Mm-hmm. When you're part of the association, you're a member. So I'll be making that distinction. But so they are often a subscriber to the MLS, and they have the ability to use information the same way that a subscriber would. I would say that a lot of that information that goes to portals often comes from an MLS, not necessarily ours. I will also say that as I describe this to non-real estate people, if you think about when we talk about a bedroom, we all know what a bedroom is. We have kind of a definition, but there are other things that might not have the same definition that we all have to make rules and agree on. So for example, you know, in some places you might call a room a patio, you might call it a lanai. Here we have Arizona rooms, and we might all be saying the same words but mean different things. And so the MLS is sort of the rulemaking body framework that makes sure, hey, when you say this, this is what we mean. And we spend a lot of time on that, making sure that we're following standards.
MLS is kind of the adult in the room.
well, we have to have a framework to be able to share and make sure that we are talking about the same thing for the benefit of people that would be home buyers and certainly home sellers.
Yeah. So let's talk about the lobbying piece. So, like, I'm on the board of Southern Arizona Leadership Council. I'm on the board of Rio Nuevo. We see, especially from the SALC perspective, we see Tucson Association of Realtors an ally. We see you as pro-economy, pro-business, want to make sure houses are affordable. We're making good, pragmatic decisions for us here. Tell us about the lobbying arm of TAR.
Well, let me start from a premise of we have done polling with our members, and I don't have it written down exactly, but I want to say something like 86% of our members told us that they want us to work on economic development. Another, you know, nearly three quarters of our membership tell us that they want us to work on infrastructure, because they go hand in hand. I like to say often that, you know, we really want to put people in homes, but they're going to need jobs to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so part of the mission and voice of the Realtor Association is to be an advocate for our local community, to be an advocate for our members and would-be homeowners and home buyers and sellers, et cetera. So we take that very seriously. We have a advocacy arm. We have a group of dedicated volunteers called HPA, Housing Property Advocates. And so when the city, for example, has a proposal for missing middle, they come and make a presentation to us. We decide if we're gonna, it is our members, our working realtors who decide that's going to be good for real estate or it's not going to be. And they go through that process. And we have a professional advocacy team that I'm on, but we have a guy by the name of Sean Cote who, mm-hmm. you know, often drafts the comments to our city officials or county officials, et cetera, and we weigh in. We are fortunate that we have a political action committee called RAPAC that our members are able to contribute, and that's how we're able to do things like support the RTA, which I know that you had Ted Maxwell, good friend Ted Maxwell, on here a while ago. So glad we were able to get that passed, and really proud of the effort of our realtors to be part of that winning team.
Yeah, that was a defining moment for Tucson. We were literally screwed if we didn't pass the RTA. With no money for road maintenance. Forget the road maintenance. You would have no more new widened lanes, sidewalks, bike lanes, right-hand turn lanes, bus pullouts, like we had to pass it. So thank you, Tucson Association of Realtors.
Yes. And, you know, the thing is, you know, part of what realtors do is we are advocating and speaking up and being a cheerleader for the place that we live, right? And so I think one of the big key things about the RTA is the regional part.
Yeah.
It's not just one city. It's the whole region, and the whole region benefits. But as I was going around and speaking to our individual brokerages and offices and getting out there and speaking to our individual realtors, they had a lot of questions, as they should, as every voter did. A lot of it, you know, a lot of people had issue with things that aren't necessarily part of the RTA. And so that was part of the communication challenge. But one of the things that I like to say is, you know, when we think about real estate, we talk about location, location, location. And that only works if you can get safely from location to location to location.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of why that was a big issue for us.
Yeah. Here's a sidebar, and I usually break the third wall.
I talk to the camera.
I talk to my people out there. So realtors are really important for our community. And I'll just tell you from my perspective, not because Romeo's sitting here, but if you think, actually, this podcast started from an event that used to be hosted at the TCC, which I would MC, and it was for realtors. And it was Rio Nuevo, it was Marana Town Council, it was our city council, it was our chamber, you name it. Like, all the entities were talking about what good is happening in our community, because you want your realtors to know that, because your realtors are front line in regards to communication to anyone that's moving into town or someone that's investing in a house and moving into a different neighborhood, et cetera. The more high quality realtors you have, the bigger the cheerleading squad is for Tucson. They want nice neighborhoods. They want nice, safe streets and houses. And anytime a house is flipped, I think it's beautiful when a house, I love house flippers, because they go into neighborhoods and they take horrible looking beat down houses and they renovate them to make them look like $1 million. And then they go, you know, improve a neighborhood.
Yeah. I think, you know, we live in the community too. It's our community too. And I always like to say that, you know, if you want to know what is going on in the local school district, you want to know what's going on with that restaurant. Hey, what's the story behind this thing going on in the neighborhood? There's a realtor that knows it. Talking to one realtor is like talking to 10 regular people, because they're going to be driving around and talking to clients and say, oh, hey, by the way, did you know that the Arizona Inn was recently purchased by a group that includes
Steve Kerr.
San Antonio Spurs, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you went there. Huh? Good for you. You got to be a big Sean Elliott fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, man. I know. Sorry about that series. Sorry about the Knicks.
You know, I'm just thrilled that they were able to get there.
Yeah, they got there.
I was watching the series against the Knicks in 1999 with my mother, and I will never forget the Sean Elliott's last 3-point shot. So, you know, great memories there. Hey, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, amen.
Next season.
So here's a pragmatic, tougher question.
Sure.
So give it to me, like, as your buddy, like, what do we need to do in this community politically, economically, to make our houses more affordable? Like, how do we improve your market?
We need more
houses built.
So, and I say, we need a mix of, housing supply, and anything that we do, if it's, you know, the collegiate housing, if it's ADUs, it's going to take pressure off of other places where things aren't being built. I know you're going to ask me about this. I recently got back from Washington, D.C. But our nation overall is behind 4.7 million homes.
Wow.
We are that backlogged. And so we just don't have a supply. And so when I say, and when the realtors are speaking about we need housing supply, we're saying, hey, it's not just one model, multiple types of homes. And I know that you have previously hosted an event you emceed an event that we did called The Power of Real Estate, mm-hmm. In the past before I got here. But when we had that this year, one of my comments was, we really need to start thinking about housing as infrastructure. I know that we think of, hey, do we have enough water? Surprise, Tucson's doing a little bit better in water than we think we are.
We're doing really well with the water.
Yeah.
We're storing Phoenix's water.
We need to make sure that we have a power grid. We need to make sure our airports have runways. But you know what? We need to make sure that businesses that might move here or businesses that are here that might expand have housing for their folks. And we need the housing for the CEO, for the engineers and the people that punch the clock. We need housing for the folks that the hourly employees. And we need homes for our homegrown talent.
Yes. You know, at a Rio Nuevo meeting, what day is it? This week, 2 days ago. God, it's been a long week already. I heard something for the first time. You always hear affordable housing, which if you ever try to pencil out affordable housing, you can't build it. You got to always mix it with market rate.
It's got to pencil out. Yeah.
But I just heard about attainable housing,
and yeah,
which is just a little more expensive, but is still more affordable for people, but not low income.
So, the Realtor Association is a business organization run by business people and making business decisions, and so we believe in the free market. I believe in the free market, and so there's absolutely a role for all types of housing. However, I think about my parents. My dad was from Mexico. My mom was raised in Mexico, born in the U.S. My mom was able to work in hotels. My dad was able to work in restaurants. And they were able to buy a home. Yeah. I was in my 20s by the time they bought a home. But I can't imagine that somebody could do that today. But the reason was there was a product there that a realtor connected them and told them, hey, you can do this. It's going to take a little work, but we can make this happen.
Yeah.
And side note, you know, I know that there's a lot of folks out there that don't have the opportunity to grow up in a home that their parents own. There are studies that show that children that grow up in a home that their parents own are more likely to do better in school. They're more likely there's all sorts of positive benefits to that. That is not something that I had. I was in my 20s by the time I walked home. I opened the door and I said, this is home for the first time.
Yeah.
And so that's part of the thing that drives me to make sure that we work on policies that expand the availability of home ownership to people.
You guys do a great job, and we didn't even go through your charitable arm, which I know you guys do a lot there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
give me a nugget. So like the name of this podcast is The Upside. So tell me where we're headed over the next 10 years, and it could be AI related. Tell me where we're headed. That's some good news for what's happening with the home buying.
Well, let me tell you, this is a thing. We are fortunate enough to live in a place that people want to be, people want to visit. I've never had anybody come visit me that doesn't want to come back. When I moved from the Bay Area to take this job, everybody I talked to said, oh, you'll love Tucson. I went to school there. My brother was stationed there. You'll love it. It's great. I never heard a negative thing about Tucson until I got here.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate to live in a place that people want to be. But being part of the community is a participation sport. And so we have the opportunity to make the community or communities that we want because we live here. This is what we're selling. And I will just say that I am glad to be part of the Realtor Association, to be one of the cheerleaders, but we can't be the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. You all do a great job. I always say, as I get involved in the community, no one's flying here to fix it for us. So we get in the trench. I think I'm born and raised Tucson boy. Like, we have high standards and high expectations because we know how great it is. I don't ever plan on moving from here. I bought my last house here that I'll ever own.
Yeah.
Tucson's our place. Tucson's our home, and it's ours.
If that changes, I have 6,000 people that can help.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. This has been Romeo Arrieta with Tucson Association of Realtors. Thank you. You're fantastic.
Oh, I got
to talk to you for another hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are sponsored today by Tom Heath of the Heath team of Nova Home Loans. If you're a realtor out there, call Tom. It's from the Tucson Sugar Skulls, your favorite professional indoor football team, and Lumify Marketing with Manny. I'm Edmund Marquez. This is The Upside. We'll see you next time.